Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. One of the favorite things we do for our listeners is to have the priest and the rabbi on. Been doing it for pretty much 24 years now. We have Rabbi Shmuel from Eishet Torah. We have Monsignor Ted from ICD. Ted, I know you are a huge sports fan, a huge Cardinals fan, huge baseball fan, and you were triggered intellectually when Wheeler was playing that audio from the lady saying that sports break up families. And I know you wanted to address that, so please do.
Sure, sure. Well, that's kind of unrelated to being a Cardinal fan, but I am, I'm with them thick and thin. But yeah, so on the issue of sports, I don't think sports in and of itself is the issue. It's a vehicle for people making bad decisions sometimes. It can, of course, be very healthy. To me, the underlying factor that's most important is when I work with couples. We even when marriage preparation, one of the standard questions is our agree, disagree, is our couple relationship will remain more important than our relationship to our children. A lot of people are afraid to put down agree, but agree is the preferred answer. For several spiritual perspective, we say when people get married, the two become one. You're not one with your kid. And it's kind of a related saying is, best way to be a good parent, be a good spouse. It's one of the reasons that I think, listen to some of the commentary on the last hour, you all were stressing, it's a decision. Well, I think it's because of couples insecurity in their own relationships that they're less willing to tell their kids no. I mean, related, sayings that are related here. One is kids do not need their parents as a friend until the kids are adults. The kids need parents who set boundaries and are consistent and give them unconditional love. I've said in preaching before, you want to love to parents and grandparents, you want to love your kids better? Well, say no more often. It's saying yes doesn't mean love. It means you're giving in. The parent has to be the decision maker.
Yeah, I'm an example of that. I've been very open and honest on the air. I think I'm a good guy. I think I'm a good parent. I have a great relationship with my kids. But Phoebe has told me in no uncertain terms, you should have been better about setting boundaries. It was a little too free and easy for me. You went ahead of me and you plowed the field for me, being who you are. Then you went behind me and you cleaned up my mistakes. And that was not a help. That really hurt. That really hurt to hear, because you think you're doing your best. You think you're killing it. Oh my gosh, my daughter has everything and anything she could ever want. And if she gets in trouble, I can get her out of it. And that was a mistake.
Yeah, you know who's the guy in Omaha, the Wizard of
Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett. He said to give your kids enough that they can do anything, but not enough that they can do nothing. And I think sometimes people make a mistake in thinking, like you're saying, that they have everything. You know, I just want to comment. I agree with everything that was said. I don't deal so much in sports, but, you know, a lot of times I encourage parents to get involved spiritually, let's say to go on a trip to Israel or whatever. And I think a lot of parents feel that they're being selfish by if they do something for themselves. And I always tell the parents, you know, the best gift you can give your children is inspired and healthy mother and father. And so it's not a selfish thing to do something for yourself. You're doing something for your children by, you know, if you're worn out taking your kids from soccer to baseball, you're not going to be a good parent. And so, the other thing is, when I was a kid, I'm sure this was with you guys also, we went out and played. I played sports every day. My parents weren't there. They didn't take me anywhere. We went out. Ran home, got a mitt and a bat, you know, or a football. And I don't know if kids do that anymore.
But I don't see it if they do.
They do it a lot less. What I find along that same lines is the rabbi saying, what I find pretty simple advice that seems to touch a lot of hearts. It's so simple. I ask couples, when was your last date night? My definition of date night is at least 2 hours, only the two of you and no electronics. So no birthday parties, graduation parties, weddings, counts.
Phones.
It's got to be, and I also tell them you don't have to spend $500. You can go for a walk for 2 hours. You can go sit by the side of a lake, watch the river go by, whatever. and about that bonding time. And I tell them, they're not only do you need to know that your couple relationship is more important, your kids need to know that. And like the rabbi was saying, that it's not taking away from them; it's giving them it gives them confidence. I mean, it's pretty obvious that when kids see the tumult of their parent relationship, it makes them uneasy and uncertain, and they're only going to act out more.
Does it seem to be getting worse generationally?
Yes. And I think there's a lot of things pushing in that direction. I think the social media doesn't help. Again, do I blame social media? No, I blame lack of control over it. But you combine social media with the fact that there was so much time spent in isolation during COVID. Kids weren't even going to school. And it's one of the many reasons that all that isolation remains very controversial. You ask anybody who's teaching primary age kids if there's a difference between the kids now and what there was before COVID. They laugh, not in a happy way, but they say like, well, duh, it is. It's obvious developmentally they're behind. And so, yes, that adds to the pressure of parents to, in quotation marks, make their kids happy by providing for them. But, yes, I do think that that's getting worse. And so there's people put more and more pressure on themselves to provide for their kids and keep. When I preach, sometimes I say, as one of the, I preach in a comfortable suburban area, say one of the suburban sins is being hyper-scheduled. And so going from one activity to another without reflecting doesn't lead to happiness. It leads to stress.
Religious question for you guys. Recently, the Ten Commandments have been in the news with this, the law. Which state is it that's doing
this? Louisiana.
Yeah. Saying that the Ten Commandments must be displayed in every public classroom. And I thought I remembered, Rabbi, you talking about that the Ten Commandments as such, 10 of hundreds of mitzvahs, that they are no more important than any of the others, that that's not really a Jewish creation. Am I correct about that?
I mean, you have a good memory. Yeah. Okay. That is true. I think for the people that are proponents of this, they look at this as like a universal creed.
Yeah, sure.
You know, that, so even though I'd say that's true, I think the intent behind it is that they want some kind of universal creed that people can accept as being a moral code, and that's how they're looking at it. You know, I'm sure I'm not a lawyer. I'm pretty certain this will be struck down.
Yeah.
You're a lawyer.
Yeah.
But
I think it will too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Do you, just as a person, forget about being a lawyer, would it make you happy if it were the fact that you do have a creed in classrooms that's religious-based?
My feeling is, if you look around the world, that it always gets pretty complicated when you have like what's called a religious state. Even in the Catholic Church, when there were religious states, it creates some complexities. Can it work? Yes, but it's more likely to lead to issues. But where I would be in favor of right now, it's whether the Ten Commandments should be posted in public places. Well, frankly, you know, part of the issue is they are already posted in some, they're posted in some legislatures. So there is a universality into you shall not lie, steal, or cheat. So that moral fiber. But I would have to say what I don't understand, and I think we do a disservice to our kids. Whether you say we have a Christian country, certainly it's some basis or from the Judeo-Christian heritage. The big issue is why can't it at least be read in schools as a piece of literature? To deny that the Ten Commandments, whether independent or part of the larger body of Jewish law, in a sense, doesn't matter too much in this case, but it's certainly shaped Western civilization. Yeah. So I believe we do a disservice, and in fact, it's not unusual that other things are asked to be read in different schools from different traditions. So it seems to me that it is a, what's the phrase that It's being used a lot these days. Out of an abundance of caution, some courts totally don't allow any of that when it comes to Christianity, and yet there are some background in the presence of other religions.
We're in agreement. Yeah, as an agnostic, we're in agreement on that. I don't think you can be a well-rounded person with a well-rounded education without understanding the basics, at least, of the major religions.
Yes.
You know, how we got here, why we're here, where we're going, who believes it, who doesn't, what effect does it have on geopolitical norms? I think all those things are critically important. We don't become better by making our kids dumber.
Right. You know, also, I was thinking about this when you brought up, you know, the issue of it. And I was thinking, what do the people want? Why are they doing this? And there's other states that have considered this also. Utah has considered this. Texas has considered this. And I was thinking, and I think this is an important thing, and I'm not sure exactly how to do it right, but I think what are they looking for? And that is, we had kind of like a universal code that kept us together as a people. You know, and I think that's essential for a democracy. You have to agree on a certain central group of ideas. You know, you can have your arguments, and, you know, democracy never works in like tribal areas. You know, it always works. What made our democracy so great is we really didn't disagree on the main, we, you know, this much to military spending and this much to social services, but we basically agreed on a creed. And I think what these people that want this, the proponents of this want, I don't know if this Ten Commandments is the right vehicle of it, but what they're looking for, you know, when I was a kid, I don't know if they do this anymore. Do they say the Pledge of Allegiance in class?
I believe they do.
You know,
we
so,
do.
You know, right? But I'm saying in
we
public
do,
schools,
with the importance schools, of right. Under God,
right? You know, there was a certain. I hope they do, but my point being is I think that's what they're looking for is, and I think people there's a feeling and that there's a loss of that now that it's not we don't have that shared kind of. You know, also when I was young, the American flag wasn't controversial. You know, and the American flag to me, at least, you know, when you pledge allegiance, it's to the documents, the founding documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. These things used to be agreed upon. And I think we should be teaching that they should be agreed upon. And although, like, you know, our country has made terrible errors and has done horrible things, it's also done a lot of amazing things. And so I think we should teach a pride in what we stand for. Not everything we've done, but. And I think that's what's being looked for.
I think we should appreciate as well the degree to which we are completely allowed to disagree. People will act as if we're not. They'll act as if we're living in Russia or China or Yemen, and we're not. You can say, I pledge allegiance to the flag. However, I disagree with 90% of the way it's being used right now. That's completely American.
Yes. Yeah. And even if, like, let's say you don't agree with everything that's in the creed. You're allowed to disagree. We're not, you know, look, our Declaration of Independence says one nation under God. Are we going to cancel out the Declaration of Independence because atheists don't agree with the fact that Thomas Jefferson mentioned God? Or is it going to be, no, look, I agree with most of this and it mentions God. And so I think we're not all ever going to be able to agree on everything, but we need to have a center. And I think a lot of people feel that, you know, we are teaching a moral code. I think we all agree, like, should you respect elders? Can you call the teacher names? I think we all agree on it, but I think a lot of people want that taught. They want that articulated.
Yeah. If you guys want to join us, you can. 314-436-7900-800-925-1120. Welcome back, guys. DGS. After the bottom of the hour break, we have Dave Murray. Be nice to talk about some nice weather for a change. Right now we have the priest and the rabbi with us. So we're just talking on the break sort of about politics, given tonight is the big night with the big debate. Just any thoughts in general, just sort of the overlap between political discourse, public discourse, religious discourse.
I mean, I think one thing I would just say like this is that, you know, again, as I've said this before, and I think we agree on this, that politics is not going to solve our problems. And I think we have to keep that in mind. A lot of people, there's going to be a lot of kicking and screaming. Somebody's going to win this. There's going to be some people that are happy about it. And a lot of people are going to be very unhappy about it. And, you know, I'm not saying there aren't consequences. There are consequences, but I've lived through a lot of administrations and I had a good life during a lot of them. And I just think that, you know, we need to tone it down a little bit as far as the try somehow. I don't know how to get back to. I don't know how to put the genie back in the bottle. But it's going to be a very contentious period of time coming up right now.
I think a lot of it, we kind of hit on it in the last segment, inadvertently, at least on my part, that so much of it is, it would be almost like you, Monsignor, doing couples therapy for a married couple, and they're screaming at each other saying, he never listens to me. Well, he's listening. She's listening. Like, we have this ghost that we all see behind the tree that we don't have free speech. And so we yell louder at each other, like yelling at someone who speaks a foreign language, like they're deaf. And we need to realize we do have free speech. We do have each other's ear. Settle the hell down.
Right. And you know, if you listen, you know, if you yell over people and you won't listen, you know, and you're just trying to force your view down everyone else's throat, so we're not getting anywhere. You know, we have to go back to the ability to listen, think, you know, not just screaming over people and not just sending people the stuff to get them to agree with us. And so I don't know if we can somehow get back to that where we can speak civilly to each other again. You know, and that's what I'm saying about that code that you were saying. Oh, yeah. It's like if we have some kind of common...
I don't disagree.
But we need to talk about all that goes into it and not just have one team say this is the way we want to do it.
That's right. And to the rabbi's point that there's going to be a winner and there's going to be a loser, I don't agree. I think it's going to be who
it's gonna
you...
It's going to be a tie?
It's going to be who you think, yep. Who yep. Your boy is going to win.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's a nice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
3:35 DGS on KMOX. John Hancock going to join us at the top of the hour. Right now we have Dave Murray. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
Boy, this is nice for a change.
Yeah, you know, temperatures are in the upper 80s for the most part, but the dew point temperature is 59. The humidity is low. It's comfortable. It feels pretty good, especially after 103 a couple of days ago.
No kidding. How long do we have it?
We're up and down. You know, tonight is beautiful. Yeah, but the up and down's okay in the summertime. Tomorrow, a bit of a changeable sky, maybe a spot thunderstorm, but tough to find. We're going to notice a little uptick in temperature, a little uptick in humidity on Friday, 92 for the high. We can still deal with that. The next front, and it's a little stronger front than the last one, comes in late Friday night into Saturday. So the evening on Friday evening is fine, but it's going to be warm and humid, 78 for the overnight low. So that's kind of steamy. Scattered showers and thunderstorms, some strong after midnight Friday night into Saturday morning. Saturday, I'm going to go partly sunny, warm and humid day, 94, but there will be scattered showers and thunderstorms around anytime on Saturday, and some of those could be strong. Dominant feature with this batch will be heavy downpours of rain, lightning, strong gusty winds, possibility of some hail. So it's something we need to keep an eye on. It's all gone. I think Saturday evening is going to be fine. We'll start to notice a drop in temperature and humidity again. 68 Saturday night. Sunday, put it on the top 10 list. Sunny skies, 83 for the high. That means a lot of the day is going to be in the 70s.
Nice.
With low humidity. Monday looks good. Then it all starts to come back on Tuesday. And right now, 4th of July is looking like an absolute beast with temperatures hanging around 100 degrees. So we take the breaks. We enjoy the breaks because we know it's going to come back. You know, it's late June, early July. But the great thing about St. Louis is that we do get these breaks. Yes. They get the cool air in with these cool fronts. And things, you know, if we get a couple of days where you say, just like you started out this weathercast saying, hey, this isn't too bad, this is pretty good, then we're in good shape.
It's such a good point, Dave. There's so many places, and you've lived in some of them, where you don't get breaks.
Right. You know, you look at Texas, you look at Oklahoma, portions of Arkansas, the Gulf Coast, with the exception of being right along the water. These are areas, and then you get into the desert southwest, the southwest part of the country, the inland valleys of California up through the Pacific Northwest. It doesn't stop. It just doesn't stop. But it shouldn't stop. It's the summertime.
Sure. Headlines, Rach.
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. So we just had the priest and the rabbi in. This is kind of the perfect first story to follow them because it's about the Pope. The Pope wants the Vatican to be solar powered. He's ordered the installation of a solar plant that will power the entire Vatican City state. He says the goal is to achieve climate neutrality. All right. Nobody cared. It's the perfect first story.
Well, it's weird that the Pope is getting involved in that stuff, right?
We have to care about it. There's no question about it. You know, I have solar panels. I'm on board, but how do they make the solar panels? How do they, you know, when you need electricity, you need power outside the sun. When the sun goes down, unless you have these huge batteries. And then how do they make the batteries and what happens when they go bad? Mm-hmm. There's so many questions.
I saw the most interesting YouTube video the other day. I forget what part of the world this was in, but they built this home like within a cave that was half out of the ground. And that really helped with keeping the temperatures at a certain level alongside the solar panels. So like they didn't have to draw on that solar so much. It was just naturally staying at this ideal temperature.
It's like my man cave.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
It's cool in the summer and it's nice and warm in the winter.
All right, moving on. A new Biden policy has cut the border crossings by 40%. The new migrant policies, according to the Department of Homeland Security, have drastically cut back on asylum processing. Biden also announced a program that would give a path to citizenship for undocumented spouses of U.S. citizens, but that's cut the border crossings by 40% since he's put that in place. Or announced it, I should say. The FDA has warned the maker of Sara Lee and Entenmann's because they were listing ingredients such as sesame or tree nuts on labels even when they weren't in the foods. The FDA says food labels must be truthful and not misleading, and that allergen labeling is not a substitute for preventing cross-contamination in factories. So I guess these companies were just getting lazy and saying, like, it might be cross-contaminated. Say it has sesame in it, even though it's not officially in the recipe.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, very interesting.
Because the other way around that is to say may contain. You'll see that on a lot of stuff. May contain, like especially the baked
goods. Just
to cover
their ass.
Well, you'll see some that say like contain. Manufactured in facilities that also process tree nuts.
That's fair.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beer yeast is being used to remove toxins from water to make it safe to consume. Researchers at MIT and Georgia Tech use leftover beer yeast from Atlanta's Scofflaw Brewing to remove lead from water. That's a pretty cool development. Huh. Pretty neat. It was inspired by children being exposed to high lead levels in Flint, Michigan. They got to work on this project, so hopefully they can. The Flint thing is crazy that that's still going on after all of this time.
How close was that to you?
Oh, it's an hour and a half, 90 minutes or so from suburban Detroit.
And what sort of a story was it up there?
I mean, a much bigger story than it was anywhere else, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Flint is essentially kind of like a suburb of Lansing. And Lansing is the capital, but it's also not a big city, right? Detroit's the big city. But it definitely got a lot of play up there. And Flint's a big city. And before all the automotive factories closed and all of that, I mean, it was one of the busiest and one of the most productive cities in the state. And it's still a big city, but I mean, it's obviously a little different than it used to be.
A recent bank rate survey says that nearly 24% of Gen Zers and 32% of millennials carry a credit card balance. But at the same time, nearly 60% of both of those generations plan to take a summer vacation this year. Only half of Gen X and boomers say they'll do so. Younger generations are also more likely to be spending more on travel this year and going into debt to pay for it.
I think it's better now. I hope it's better. I was protected from predatory credit by having such horrible credit. I blew my first one so badly that there was never a second until I was like in my late 30s. And so, but so many of my friends, you go to a ball game, it's like, hey, you want a free bat? Just sign up for this. You want a blanket that says the Blues on it? Sign up for this credit card. You're like, yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think that strikes me as being that the numbers you read, Rach, that strikes me as being totally like normal. Like when you're 20s and 30s, you are more active. You aren't as worried about debt for the long term because you're young. You're like, I don't care. Because I know we did that. And then we're like getting into your late 30s. You're like, uh-oh, better fix that.
Better stop doing this all the time. Okay, speaking of predatory things, Snapchat has rolled out new protections. Now teens will receive a warning message if they receive a chat from a user who has been blocked or reported by others, or who is from a region where the teen's other contacts aren't located. Which is good, but I'm tired of these tech companies getting applause for doing the bare minimum.
I mean, that's good point.
They should have been protecting the teens from the very beginning.
Good point.
We're going to warn you when a proven weirdo is trying to get into your DMs.
And then they want to pat themselves on the back for it.
A former GOP rep has endorsed Joe Biden. Adam Kinzinger said yesterday that Trump was a direct threat to every fundamental human value, saying, I never thought I'd be endorsing a Democrat for president, but Biden will always protect the very thing that makes America the best country in the world, our democracy. Yeah. I don't think that surprises anyone considering the media blitz he's been on since 2021.
No.
It's pretty much on brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I saw him interviewed about it, and he was asked the question, are you more voting for Joe Biden or are you more voting against Donald Trump? Knowing the answer would be I'm voting against Donald Trump. And he said, no, it's really more voting for Joe Biden.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if part of that is just his circles have probably changed so much since January 6th.
He said it comes down to one thing. He thinks that Joe Biden is a decent man and that Donald Trump is not. That's what Kinzinger
said. That's what
said.
He says. Yeah.
Men are more likely to say that they are living in a dystopian society than women. Roughly 26% of men surveyed said they are living in a dystopian society compared to just 14% of women.
Because we're such dork children.
Yeah, I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Just living in movies.
Do people know what dystopian means?
I don't think they do, Wheels.
They're like,
I don't think it's good.
Yeah, but I mean, it seems like they think that means, it's not as good as it used to be for me.
Right.
Like, you know,
it means post civilization
for women than men. I just find that very interesting that more men are like, yeah, they're restricting our rights. It's like, well, what's going on here? All right. A 12-year-old has graduated from high school and is now pursuing a double degree in college. His name is Saborno Isaac Bari, and he was Nassau County High School's youngest graduate at age 12. He skipped 5th, 6th, 7th, 9th, and 11th grades while also passing the New York State Regents exam.
You know how I feel about this? Same way I feel when 85-year-olds get their master's degree. Shut up.
This kid's no young Sheldon. All right.
I admire the kid. That's amazing. I mean, like, that kid is clearly both a hard worker and incredibly smart.
Yeah, you're right. That kid clearly has no friends.
But, this is my worry. Is there
my boy. I understand what you're saying.
Is there not a balance between the social and the educational?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you really better off if you're 6, 7, 8 years younger than the people around you when you're 12?
Is that just going to mean that you're going to have to get a job when you're 13 now?
he's got to go to college and be around 25-year-olds.
He'll be divorced by the time he's 15.
Yeah, you're going to graduate college when you're 14 and then just sit around for like 5 years.
No, they'll just invent things. But I think it's a valid concern. You're raising a child. You're not raising a computer. It's one thing to be super smart and advanced, but you still have to have relationships.
That's a better comment than me making a raspberry.
I thought that story was going to make everyone happy.
No, it is. It's cool.
Somebody needs to give that kid a swirly.
It's just how can that kid go to college and fit in on a college campus when you're literally a child?
His first book will be called My Life in the Locker.
Yeah.
All right, one more story here. The mayor of Paris has promised that the Seine will be ready for the Olympics amid all of the defecation drama and, you know, encouraging people to go poop in the Seine. I guess they're banking on the fact that that's not actually going to happen. But they're still saying it will be utilized for marathon swimming, the triathlon, and a mixed relay triathlon.
The poor mayor. He's like,
no,
it's a she.
Excuse me. It sure would. She's like, it sure would be nice if people would stop pooping in it. That would help. That would make it a lot easier to make sure it's clean.
You know what they'd do if they're smart? Just make up a brand new event.
Oh, no.
Thanks, Dave.
All righty.
On the break, Rach was just saying, isn't it weird that we go on the air and we talk for a living? And Wheels was saying, like, if he didn't have this job, he'd be the most annoying guy at a corner bar somewhere. Rach pointed out he wouldn't even be drinking alcohol.
No, he'd be drinking Diet Mountain Dew and having chicken fingers.
Telling everyone how to live their lives.
Just like spouting off about everything, you know?
My wife just left me, you guys, and Kevin's like, why would I care about that? I don't care about that.
Get up, grow up, let's go.
Do you guys have the empty page syndrome like I do? Like every day I fill one page of notebook, there it is right there, and then you go home and you rip it off and you have a blank page and you're like, well, I guess I have to do this all over again, don't I?
I do that with our Google Doc. I'll go through and erase all of my stuff from the day before and then I'm like, well, I gotta create more content, I guess.
Here we go again. Mm-hmm. These people just keep wanting more from me. I thought we did a pretty entertaining show today. How's that not good enough for tomorrow?
Dave, how often do you start to fill up your sheet and think like, oh, the sheet's getting full. That means I have a lot of content. And then you look at it later and you're like, this is trash.
Almost every morning. For real. When I come in here and I read through it and I have my little system where I make stars and I color them in red, then I circle them in blue or I circle them in green. Green means I'll talk about it with Ranji and Amy. Blue means I'll talk about it with the guys. And there are times I'm like, I'm fine and I am fine. And then there are times I'm like, I am not fine.
Yeah.
This is not going to be good.
I will get the think of something like right before I go to bed and I'll put it in my notes app to put on the doc tomorrow. I'm like, this is, oh man, this is going to be like a whole segment. And then I write it down and then I look at it in the morning and it's like, why did I think that would be interesting?
Yeah, I do that all the time too.